Hello, everyone. Welcome to One More Prime, the Transformers Watch Along. I am Mike Schwartz, a man who wants to get back to New York City. I am joined by my kids, Emmett and Elsa.
Hello.
Hi.
Who also want to get back, but probably just to go back to the Nintendo store.
And that is correct.
We are watching Make Tracks, episode 25 of season 2. Guess what? We now have an email. If you would like to write to us, ask us a question, have a suggestion, have a lead for a guest on the show, please write to us at onemoreprimepod@gmail.com. I'll spell that out for you. onemoreprimepod@gmail.com. I hope I spelled that right. We would like to read your emails on the show, but not without your permission. So just make a little note if it's okay to make your message public. We can't wait to hear from you. This week's guest is Gil Colon. Gil is a podcaster and New York native. You can listen to him on the podcasts No Apologies and Culture Trappin'. Written by David Wise and airing on October 30th, 1985, this is Make Tracks. Okay, everybody, we are here with Gil Colon, New York native. How are you doing, Gil?
I'm doing well, very well.
I think this is a perfect episode for us to cover with you, wouldn't you say?
Oh, this is a perfect episode. I feel seen.
You're right. We took the kids on a New York vacation in 2018. That was our first time. And boy, I was there just thinking now. Last time I was there was late January 2020, actually.
Wow.
Yeah. I was there on like a quick work trip. And there were people starting to wear face masks. And we're like, oh, wow, that's weird. And just like, man, in hindsight, it's like, oh, boy.
Yeah, I was I'm going to sound so bougie. I was flying back from Paris. Me and my lady were seated. And there was these women in front of us, and they started like, and this was like literally like end of February 2020, and they brought out all the stuff. They were wiping down everything, and I'm looking at them. We're looking at them. We're chuckling like, ha 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 ha. What are they so scared of? You know, boy, did we learn. Not three weeks later, we were all told to stay home.
Oh yeah, yeah, I know. Yeah. Well, how's New York looking these days?
New York is good. I mean, there's tourism is back. People are, you know, back to, some semblance of normalcy. You know, we're still, we need the Transformers right now because crime is up a little. So we need that Safe Streets program that they have right now. We need alien robots. New York desperately needs alien robots. So I beseech you, Hasbro, send whatever robots you got.
I'm fan for that. If it's Bayverse, then don't send them. Talk to Japan.
Yeah, look how I was a little
need,
more
no, trouble. No, I need G1s. G1s all the way, because I can't have... No, I would just... seeing Bay Transformers transform makes me kind of nauseous in a way.
Sorry, but...
it feels like I'm, like, spinning in a way.
And plus, you saw what they did to Chicago in the third movie. Like, their great plan was to... We're gonna make them think we left in a shuttle... We're going to let like the Decepticons invade Chicago and just like kill 100,000 people. And then we'll sneak back in. That's our grand plan.
Yeah. G1s were there. They appreciated humans, as we saw in this episode.
Oh, yeah.
It's all because Michael Bay said one more.
I need one more house. So let's make another movie.
All right. Well, let's get back to G1, like you said. So, like growing up, G1 Transformers a staple viewing? Or
yes. I grew up a latchkey kid in the projects of the South Bronx in the 80s, and you know, my mom was really strict, and she was always I was a smarter kid. So she really wanted me to stay away from like bad influences. And so like, I just came directly home and I would watch my Saturday, you know, my afternoon shows, which was, you know, the greatest 40 minutes of television for me back then, which was G.I. Joe Transformers back to back.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they're always back to back.
And then, like, you know, and then you would go to the other channel to watch Thundercats and something else. And you were just like, Silverhawks or He-Man, you know? And you were just I didn't know I had like the glory days, you know? Mm-hmm. Before things changed, and you know, now you could watch Saturday morning stuff all over the internet. So it's Saturday morning; it's not even Saturday morning anymore. It's Tuesday afternoon, or Wednesday, or Thursday at 2 o'clock for us adults. But in the morning, Transformers was something that I always loved. I had an original G1 Jetfire. Yes, pretty much, because that's the thing, it was Matt Cross. We were just like, oh, this is Matt Cross. We have my brother and I forget how we, oh, I know what happened. Kids, don't do what Gil does. Well, not really, his little brother. One day I came out of school and I jumped off the school bus, and my little brother was outside of the Woolworths, and he was walking away. He was walking funny. And I catch up with him at the school bus, and I'm like, "Hey, dude, what's going on? What's up with the limp?" He says, "Turn around," and he turns around, and he whips out a Jetfire. He stole it from the Woolworth.
What the?
And so we had a true out of the box Jetfire. We had it for years. Stupidly, I think he gave it away to someone.
Why?
And like, it boggles the mind as to how much that would actually cost now, because that was probably quite possibly one of the best Transformers you ever saw, because it also crossed over into, you know, anime as well, because he just looked like, you know, a Macross character. But even in this episode, I saw a couple of Transformers I had back in the day, which was, what was his name? Not Jetfire. Powerglide. I had Powerglide, and I was like, "Oh my god, I remember him. He looks so silly."
I'm looking at him right now. He's in the office in a place of esteem.
Yeah, but I was always struck by, like, you know, just how understanding and how, like, noble, like, the Autobots were. And I was, you know, growing up, you know, I think we were all in awe of, you know, Optimus Prime's what's his name? The voice actor.
Peter Cullen.
Peter Cullen.
Yeah. Like, Peter Cullen's voice was just like, damn. I was like, man, I looked at my father and I was like, damn. I looked at my father and I was like, why don't you have bass like this? And then my father looked at me shamefully and said, go away. I had a great affinity for the property, and I still do. I still remember the day when I found out that Optimus Prime had fallen. As a kid, it was like when in The Simpsons, when Lisa broke that little kid's heart, and you could see it on the screen.
Oh yeah,
and that's what I felt. And when Ralph Wiggum's, when you could pause on Ralph Wiggum's heartbreak. That was me when I saw that movie.
Did you see it in the theater?
I saw it in the theater.
Oh.
I saw it in the theater, and I was like, who is this Rodimus Prime? I don't know this man. I boo this man. I boo this man. But then I kind of liked him. I was like, okay, I get it. It's hard. He's the underdog. You got to root for the underdog. I mean, he ain't Optimus, but, you know, I give him some love.
Yeah, that'll be interesting for us as we get into season three, because I have not watched season three in a long time. Back when I bought the VHS sets on eBay, like eBay 97, I don't know. So that'll be interesting to see Rodimus as a leader, you know, back to back, week to week, as we go through that. We still got, we still got like half a season two to watch. It's a long season.
We're going to be 50 by the time that we finish this.
We're getting through it. So this episode, let's get into it. This is Make Tracks.
Make Tracks, baby.
Season 2, episode 25, written by David Wise. Now, David Wise, this is kind of an interesting episode for him, because he's the guy, and we've covered him before, where he wrote for a lot of He-Man episodes, and he would later write like over 100 Ninja Turtle episodes.
Respect. And,
a lot and, of them.
Yeah, and he was known for reusing plot lines, recycling.
Yeah.
So like he'd kind of take bits from this He-Man episode and combine it with this He-Man episode and then make a Transformers episode. But when I was looking up this episode, he didn't really borrow anything for Make Tracks. And which I think is one of the strong points of this episode is that
it's so
a really unique storyline.
It's original. You could tell
how original it is. I was like, whoa, I've never seen it. Cause I would think that it's, you know, most Transformers plots are very rote, but this went places.
Oh yeah. Also another note is that this is one of the 7 Transformers cartoons created by the Unknown Animation Studio.
Ooh.
So there's 49 episodes in season 2.
Wait, does that mean we're cursed?
No. It's just someone didn't do their bookkeeping.
Okay.
But there's most of the episodes were by Toei Studios.
Yes.
And then there's 3 that are known from Acom Studios, which we just covered. I think in the core was the last one we watched. But then there's 7 that are left over. And I guess people have kind of dug in and done research and they can't quite figure it out. There's maybe they thought it may have been in the Philippines, but I guess like the major studio that was open then wasn't kind of up and running at the time this would need to be produced. So, yeah, I don't know. There's 7 wow. episodes in season 2 that they don't know which studio animated it.
We'll leave it to the studio historians.
Yeah, but I mean, like, even so, it's a good looking episode.
Oh, yeah, it was.
And we'll start with the crazy, we'll just get out of the way, but just like the crazy background paintings of New York, which is like every building is labeled with just kind of gibberish.
Banana.
Victoria.
I was going to bring the banana building up, but also stole my thunder. So
how about cake?
Yeah, there's, yeah.
Astoria.
Astoria Casino. There's one that's like beefcake.
Yes. Many times in my life in New York, I've walked past the banana building.
The banana.
I slip all the time. Oh.
It's right next to the appliances building and
yes.
the life building.
Life. Yes. You know, people like to think New York is full of culture, but you know, our buildings just say appliances. Food.
Would everyone like to guess what the banana building actually is? Oh. Let's just say it's monkey business.
Oh.
Anyway, continuing on
that
the
joke is pretty appealing, Emmett.
Ba-dum-bum.
So yes, we begin in a very weird kind of impressionistic New York, and even in the alleyways seem to be just like dirt roads, and and we meet up with some kind of stereotypical cartoon 80s punks.
Mm. Yes.
And their punk language.
I love it.
Yo, man.
May I drop a knowledge bomb?
Oh, go ahead.
All right.
Slang is slang for shortened language.
Oh. All right, grasshopper.
Yeah.
So anyway, you can't be a punk unless you have a mohawk, pink hair, and spike-cuffed tuxedos.
Yes, but But you guys, you know, your dad will know this, but like every time they had like a look for New York in the 80s, as your dad could tell you, there was always like a punk guy with a mohawk, whether it was in that Star Trek movie when he was playing the music too loud.
Oh, yeah.
Or like every time you have a punk, like New York 80s person,
like there was
always that guy. Yeah. And so, you know, it was just the way it was. I mean, that's not to say it wasn't. We had our punk phase in New York and guys actually did look like that. Mm-hmm. And Dag Nabbit, I dressed just like Raul when I was a kid.
Nice.
I had a jacket just like Raul. I was like, do it.
It's a good jacket.
It was.
So these street punks, they steal what will be known as Trax, which is kind of the hero Autobot in this episode.
He's an Autobot symbol. How could you not tell?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, they don't seem to be that well known in some parts of the country, but
Yeah, it's funny how as we watch episodes, like there seem to be pockets of America that like don't quite know that there's 2 races of giant transforming robots at war in their country.
Exactly.
But yeah, Trax is a cool blue Corvette. I have a a knockoff figure of a Masterpiece track sitting right next to me. And, okay. And you know what? It comes with a tiny blaster, which was in his backseat, and a tiny little Raul.
No, for real?
Yes.
You got to take a picture and send it to me. That's awesome.
Even though the Masterpiece is a knockoff, the love for Trax and Raul is real.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
And you can tell it's a knockoff because the Autobot symbol is the same, except for like the little divot in like that forehead piece isn't there. It's just solid red.
Slightly different.
But. Oh
man, you could tell they're your kids, Mike.
details.
They know details.
So the Street Punks take Trax to a chop shop and they exchange it for $600.
And a cool beatbox.
And it transforms.
That was a lot of money back then.
Yo, yeah. So Blaster and Trax transform. The punks are starting to run out the door. And here arrives Optimus Prime.
Hello.
And the owner of the chapter just shoots at him. He just pulls out a gun and takes a few shots.
Yep.
Which is, for some reason, it wasn't a bullet gun. It was a laser gun.
Yeah.
Where did that come from?
The cops show up and instantly arrest everyone. And they say that they're working with the Autobots on their Crime Buster program. Mm-hmm. So the Autobots, who, you know, they're usually out west.
Yep.
But they're taking their time to go to New York and work with the
NYPD. And this is where I had to pull an abrupt stop as a New Yorker. Because I was thinking of all the legislation that would have to go forward to have
red tape to have
like, listen, we're going to trust these alien robots to help us enforce crime in the city. And then afterwards, they don't need to fill out any paperwork. They're just going to go. oh my God, it was just hilarious to see that.
Yeah.
Hey, do you think they talked to the local schools too?
Yeah, they were like, listen, we want to inform you about the new Crime Busters program. And then Chaz shows up and breakdances.
And remember, don't do drugs.
Don't do drugs. And if you try to steal a car, it might be me.
Let's get back to the secret garage.
Yeah, we see Sparkplug, who has this like gigantic garage. And, you know, like he's...
Where's this money coming from?
I don't know. Like, because he's always in hanging out with the Ark, with the Autobots in the Ark.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, he's like set up in New York, and he's got this gigantic square footage.
The real estate alone.
Where do these cars come from?
Yeah, I don't know, but it's even complete with like an auxiliary Teletran 1.
Yeah.
He's got secret doors, and
maybe they built it in. So that he, you know what?
I have a theory, because this is actually the second New York episode. The first one was City of Steel, when Megatron pulled the Empire State Building into the ground and then raised it up with Cybertronian architecture.
Oh, yeah.
And he was planning on like coating all of New York with Cybertronian tech. So maybe
like the gun arm tower.
Yeah. And he stole Optimus's arm. So maybe as a way to repay the Autobots, they kind of leased him out.
Oh, I can see that. I can see that. Sure. I can see that. Okay. Still, that poor old man, he has to take care of all this.
Yeah, I know.
How old is he? You know what I'm saying?
Calling him old, but he has a 15-year-old son.
Yeah, but come on. He didn't look... he always looked a little too old. It always pressed him. But yeah, no. But yeah, so they got the big garage. And Trax is like, listen, man... This is you guys are terrible. I want to be with the humans in the city. I want to feel the heat of the city.
Exactly.
And then he struts away and goes,
not a good idea.
He's like, ah, fresh air. Yeah.
And then he's held at gunpoint by some more street toughs. But these guys work for the Geddes brothers. Yeah, this is like higher up car thieves.
They only wear green.
I said Guinness Brothers because the subtitles said it, so I got the name. Right,
yeah, I looked it up. Yeah, it's actually the Geddes Brothers.
Mm.
But Trax tries to get away. He drives into a light pole. His hood's damaged.
Oh, no.
And he can't quite transform.
Here
we see the first appearance of our buddy Raul.
That's right.
His body can transform.
Who is voiced... by the voice actor Michael Chane.
Michael Chane. That's right.
Chane.
Now, Michael Chane, I looked up. He's a cool looking dude. He sort of looks Yeah, like he's got kind of the 80s WWF, maybe tag team platinum hair.
He was a villain on Knight Rider.
He also was the voice of Sir Wigand of Blackthorn. That was from the Decepticon Raider and King Arthur's Court episode. He also voices Hoist, Power Glide, Red Alert, and then Skids in the future. So yeah, he did some voice acting.
Okay.
Pretty cheap episode then.
Yeah actually, yeah, maybe they.
Well, I've got stuff to get to. I've got.
I know they had all.
Yeah. G.I. Joe, other.
Oh yeah, other they, yeah. Shows. These voice other actors were.
They got there. Yeah, they got around. They hit every show.
Yeah. So yeah, Raul, he seems to be, you know, he's also dealing with car thievery, but you know, he thinks he can fix up tracks.
He takes one look at him, he's like, "Well, you're mine now. I'm gonna fix you up now."
Hey, what else would you think if you found a beat up sports car in the middle of New York? The empty New York.
Returning.
Oh yeah, there's nobody around.
Oh, there ain't nobody in the streets right there. None of the alleys. Nobody.
Yeah, but Raul sees this as an opportunity. I think he's going to fix up tracks to sell to the Geddes Brothers. The Geddes Brothers, because he owes them a car by midnight.
Oh shucks.
He starts working on them, and he accidentally. This is a weird design flaw with Transformers, how Trax has like one wire.
That one wire, man. That one wire.
He's a giant transforming robot.
That just hangs out so loosely.
Yeah. It's not even clipped to his engine or anything.
Nope.
That has to split when he transforms.
Yeah, so if I remember, when the wire gets cut, he's just like he can't transform. He's just
he's just a
car. Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wait, no, I.
Yeah, he kind of.
Also, why, when you're fixing a car, why would you cut a wire? Like, I don't really understand what that use has to be. Of course, I don't really care that much about cars, but I don't really see the use of cutting a wire.
Yeah, cutting wires is not really what you do if you're looking to fix a car. Raul's fixing up tracks. We get to Sea Spray, who's kind
flying.
Of
he's not touching the water.
Yeah, he's not. He's just kind of hovering over everything, and he's complaining about the human pollution. But then he helps like this tow truck pick a car out of the river. So then he's like, oh, okay, maybe they're not so bad.
He's a good guy. He like gives him a thumbs up in the driveway.
You can imagine that tow truck driver like, man, I was pulling this car up and this huge robot.
Yeah, he just gets chewed out by this yellow and blue hovercraft.
My theory is that car went to the Decepticons, or I'm sorry, the Geddes Brothers.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Oh, perfectly good car in the river. Well, time to get the tow truck out.
Hilarious.
Power Glide and Cosmos are flying around, which, you know, okay, so 80s New York, would it be
Listen.
Out of place to see a UFO flying through the streets?
Or an A-10?
There were so many instances of, like, 3-foot robots just running amok in the city. And I'm trying to think, like, I mean, is New York at New York enough that it would be like, you know, people would shrug their shoulders and then move on? And maybe, but like, even then, I would have pause if, like, there's fighter jets flying through Midtown at night, you know?
And even at one point, a Transformer's driving a Transformer because Hoist is inside of Huffer for some reason.
Yes.
And then they transform and they help kind of clear up the traffic jam.
Yes.
That doesn't track.
Yeah,
because Huffer's a mini bot, and
yeah,
this
Hoist is a full scale Autobot. So,
oh, also sorry to get off track, but one of the buildings says Canadian.
We're
in New York, not Canada. Sorry.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we go to commercial one where we actually see the Geddes Brothers, and they rough up Raul. They kind of grab him by his
three piece suits, three piece suits and all.
And the bumpers here, we got the Shockwave. And is this Thrust one new? Have we seen this before?
No, that's new.
Yeah.
Spins around and then just immediate purple.
Yeah.
I love those bumpers. Those bumpers were amazing. Like season one and season two are such a departure from each other in that sense. Like just the Shockwave one is when I saw that, I was man, I remember how cool that was. And cartoons don't do that anymore, and I wish they did, because it makes you excited about what you're gonna see if you see like these cool characters, even though Shockwave wasn't in it, but it was just so cool to see it.
Nowadays it just fades into black, and then if you're watching it on a streaming service that doesn't pay for ads, it fades back into it.
Well, yeah, you're right, because we originally started watching these on Tubi, and they did not include these bumpers. It was only when we moved over to YouTube on the Hasbro Pulse channel they include the bumpers.
No, they're great.
So we come back from the commercial, and the Geddes brothers they just chuck Raul and
one arm. I was like, man, he works out, man.
And Trek sketches them, and then they kind of go in pursuit.
Odd green frame. I'm not sure if that's from.
Yeah, that hurt my eyes.
Yeah.
Anything.
And oh, I have to point out, and we do see this later in the episode, but they pass by a movie theater which is showing Transformers the movie.
Yeah.
Like, nice little kind of futuristic plug.
So they tell Optimus. Yeah, I don't think he wants to see that. Sorry.
No. I'm in that theater. My heart's breaking right now.
Oh,
sorry.
You saw me real time. That was real time over there.
the tear slowly running.
The tear, yes.
We see Trax flying, which was a feature of his toy, which I'm not sure, because really a lot of the toys didn't have kind of like little ultimate or
ultimate.
They didn't really have alternate modes like this. But yeah, Trax has wings and he can fly.
It's another building that says Kentucky.
Yeah, and he flies like right over the New York mountains.
There's
a river, and then there's a mountain.
Oh,
range.
Yeah, we got mountains right across from Manhattan.
Mm-hmm. Hey, sure. Can you see those?
Oh, yeah.
They chase the Geddes brothers away, but then Trax puts it together that maybe they're dealing with the Decepticons. This is the first time the Decepticons have been mentioned in this episode.
Mm-hmm. They're just not present.
Yeah.
And what a coinky dink where the Autobots are.
Oh yeah, so then we go back to Powerglide, and then we see our first Decepticon, and it's Starscream. So
again, my guy.
Yeah, and they're having a dogfight over the New York skyline.
The sky of Midtown, yes, and then they chase him down to a mall.
Yeah.
So an A-10, an F-15, and a UFO walk into New York.
They go into a mall, and I'm like, first off, I want to see the mall that has the height and then they can't find him. He's hidden in the mall somewhere. Yeah.
Robots in disguise.
Yeah.
a huge three-story Decepticon is hidden in the mall somewhere. He's hiding behind the Orange Julius or something. But then he's a villain, so he does the dastardly thing, and he tries to harm the humans.
Oh, he just starts shooting at him. Yeah.
He just starts shooting. And then you see, oh, sweat, there's people in here. Holy crap.
Yeah.
And so you see them,
people
.
In New York.
And so, the Transformers do what the noble Transformers do, and they start saving folks. But of course, that's his getaway.
By the way, no humans were harmed in the making of this episode.
No.
And just to backtrack, when they're chasing Starscream into the mall, it has one of my favorite pieces of animation where Cosmos, so he's a UFO, and he's a stocky guy.
Yeah.
And he does an animation where he kind of like has to squeeze into the doorway, and he kind of does this kind of like just kind of squeezing this strut.
You should see his new Walmart exclusive.
Oh yeah, they just came out with a new
that
toy.
Thing is quite tall too.
So they report back to Optimus, and he notices that they're flying off in a southwesterly direction, which should only mean New Jersey.
That leap of logic was hilarious to me. And then it also made me feel very stereotypical of New Jersey. Of course, the Chop Shop would be in New Jersey.
There's one place they could go.
Yes.
New Jersey.
Yeah. Specifically the Pine
Barrens. The Pine Barrens.
Which I took a note. I looked it up because, you know, like most people, I only knew the Pine Barrens from the Sopranos.
Yeah, yeah.
Kids, you don't know about that yet. But I looked it up, and yeah, the Pine Barrens, it takes up 22% of all land in New Jersey.
Yep. I've walked some of it myself and me and my family. Yeah.
Also, apparently, it's home to the Jersey Devil.
Yep.
As legend has it, he resides within the Pine Barrens.
Mm-hmm.
That would be a cool Transformers episode if they just started.
The Jersey Devil just showed up in the middle of the episode.
Yeah, I mean, with all the stuff going on in this episode,
I know. Yeah, it probably wouldn't change much.
Yeah, so we go to the Pine Barrens, which again has a giant mountain ranges. I'm not sure
and if it's
supposed to be there. Yeah,
and a tank and a line of cars
and a huge factory looking.
Yeah, this really big kind of H.R. Giger-esque architecture, which is kind of typical bad guy layout. And you know,
Megatron's were like, why blend in?
Blend in, never heard of it.
Yeah, so Trex rolls up, and I guess the Geddes brothers have made a deal with Megatron to deliver 500 cars to him
for
$1 million.
$1 million.
Wow.
And then they're like, where's my million? Megatron's like, right here.
Wow.
That's a t-shirt gun, but loaded with $1 million. Didn't you hear?
Yeah. Keep the change, you filthy animal.
At the beginning of the episode, when we were calling Winston, the first Chop Shop dealer, he was paying out $600. So 500 cars, that would only be $300,000. So the Geddes brothers were paying a premium.
We need an inflation adjuster for all this.
No, I'm not getting that out again. But
that's a calculator.
So they're paying their
yeah, that's a lot of money back then. Yeah, that's a lot of money back then.
Yeah. And Megatron just says, no. It's at him.
Give me my $1 million. No.
No. Yeah. He's like, here, let me get this out of my pocket. Gun.
Where did he even get $1 million?
You know what I'm saying? And I was like, where does he think this big robot from another planet has like $1 million? Dude, all I got is Energon, man. All I got is Energon in my pocket, and that's it.
Trax tries to infiltrate this factory, and we see Soundwave and Rumble and some of the Constructicons who are one of them, it's Scrapper, and he just has a sword. Just this, you know, the Conan looking sword, and he's just like chopping these cars in half, just smashing them. I don't see
Conan
how that
O'Brien
will help
has
with
a
the,
sword.
Yeah, they're doing like this conversion process where I think they make these stolen cars into drones, which we'll see later. But I'm not sure what hitting them with a giant sword will do. And we go to commercial 2 with Trax's wire gets loose, so he can't transform. So he's kind of stuck, and he's about to meet Scrapper's Blade. So yeah, the bumpers on this commercial is Omega Supreme.
Yeah, man.
And then Hook. Yeah, that's kind of cool.
Picking up a sign.
We now return to the Transformers.
The tiniest the Transformers.
It's kind of weird that they just did one Constructicon and didn't say, you know, guys, we're going to just do a Devastator.
Yeah, like Devastator picks up this tiny sign. We now return to the Transformers. That'd be so cute.
So here's where Raul kind of earns a lot of hero points.
Good friend points.
Yeah.
Gold star.
Trax is in trouble, and so Raul just runs out behind the tree and confronts Megatron.
I know. Steps up to Megatron, man. I was like, wow. That's my car, man. I got a bomb up in here.
Yeah.
I got a device, and if I don't trigger it, we all gonna go. So Megatron's like, do it, man. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm.
Puts the gun to Raul's head like, I dare you.
Hey, you think you could just shimmy up that and fit perfectly in there?
I wouldn't try. But Raul, he has a few moments, and he reconnects Trax's wire, and then Trax transforms and just starts the battle.
Apparently they don't see the Autobot symbol.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, exactly, yeah.
So Trax is being pursued by Rumble and Ravage, but he's getting low on power.
I had a Ravage too. I had Ravage and Rumble.
A sound wave?
No, I did not. Well, no. Yes, I did have a sound wave. Oh man, I'm terrible. I had so many good G1s. Oh my god.
Ravage is about to pounce on Raul, and then out of nowhere comes Sideswipe, who just tackles Ravage.
Yeah, yep. He just poofs.
Yeah, and then Jazz and Bumblebee show up.
Season one guys show up.
Sideswipe just slams down Ravage again, and they meet up with Trax, who's leaning against a tree. And they were kind of suspicious of Raul, but then Trax says, "No,
nah, man.
He's my friend.
My friend."
Oh, I didn't know he'd be so dramatic. I'm sorry, stop crying.
He's like, Trax has a pet human.
Yeah, he does.
Aw, it's cute. Can we play with it?
He's cute. Can we play with the human?
That's his
ours
name.
Died.
Ours died. Can we have yours?
I broke him. I'm terrible. I'm sorry.
Oh, everything I touch gets ruined.
So now the plot is on. The Autobots learned that the drone cars are infiltrating New York. They're on the bridge.
Scabs. And,
yeah. And they just start transforming and just start blasting them. And I think the drones are really cool looking.
The design would actually, I really liked the design. I was like, oh, I thought they could have just gone like really like, you know, generic. But there was actually like thought to how it looked. I thought it was pretty cool.
It's weird how they all turn green.
I know, but they seem to be chameleons.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Were any of those drones ever made or no?
I don't know.
Up on the wiki.
Like
the
just
wiki has
one,
everything.
Like with just one drone, that would be cool. You could do it like an army builder.
My bet would be maybe like a third party, but I'm not sure. I don't think there are any official ones. Yeah.
Oh, well, time to get to Lego.
You build one.
I'm good at building those.
Good.
I made a Perceptor and a Sea Spray.
Oh, I love Perceptor.
Same here. I guess I'm going to the convention.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to Chicago for TFCon in October. And
nice.
Slightly
nice.
Underway
of
building a Perceptor cosplay. First time doing it. So
Whoa.
It's been fun.
That's bold.
Yeah, yep.
And you know how I'm looking out for at TFCon? Reveal the Shield Perceptor, the truck one.
Also, the voice actor is going to be there.
Yes. This is kind of awkward, and then faints.
No, don't faint wearing
this
that thing. You'll break
this
it.
This is awkward. Falls over flat. Oh, no.
So while there's the battle on the bridge, now there's a battle in front of the Chrysler building.
Beefsteak.
It says Dallas.
Dallas.
Yeah, even the Chrysler. Even the Chrysler building is very clearly labeled.
Mm-hmm. Chrysler.
Yep.
Christ
just so you know.
Yep.
Amazon.
Yeah, I know. I have to pause. Yeah, so everything. Yeah, there's Amazon. There's Bodybuilding, Hitchcock, Beefsteak, Danube,
Beefsteak. I'm offended. Cuba. I go to Food Building. I go to Cadillac Store. What do we think? We're idiots?
Yeah.
These sound like secret codes that you would see and decipher.
Yeah,
hilarious.
Whoever this unknown studio was, maybe English wasn't their first language. So
no, it was not.
They were just kind of flipping through a dictionary, and this will be the Victoria Building.
Yes, yes, yes. No, like, that word looked fancy.
This will be the Mugen Building. It's just
I think they just looked around the room like the Usual Suspects. It just randomly grabbed words.
Nightclub.
He saw a banana on a table. Banana. He saw like a picture of the Chrysler.
Banana.
Banana.
Beefsteak.
Beefsteak. That was his lunch.
So there's a battle on the bridge. There's a battle in front of the Chrysler Building. This is the part of the Transformers episode where there's this random gunfire.
Yes. Bang bang. No one gets hit.
And then they just, let's see.
They're stormtroopers. They're Springer-style stormtroopers.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and then on the bridge, they discover that, they don't have any brains. They're not real. They have no soul, so that...
morally right to kill them.
So fire away, everybody.
It's the universal sci-fi rule. If you have no soul...
Yeah.
You don't need to exist.
You don't need to live.
Well, like battle droids, they discover that they're probably remote controlled. So then Blaster just blasts a jamming frequency, and then they're down and out. And then Optimus goes, "That's it!" And then it just transitions to another scene. They drive back to the Pine Barrens, and Raul jumps out of tracks with a crowbar. So while the Autobots are fighting the Decepticons, Raul runs into the building.
Yes,
and he just takes a crowbar.
I'm gonna take this out. Yep.
Crowbar attack.
But before he can, Megatron picks him up, and he kind of brings out Raul to threaten him. But then again, Raul, with the quick thinking,
presses the one button.
Yeah, he knows his little
he knows the one button that will open his chest, which is, to me, is a design flaw.
Oh yeah. Yeah, just like the one wire.
You know? I mean,
how would he know that? Has he seen Megatron changing?
Exactly.
He knows Megatron anatomy. He studied it.
Yeah. I guess.
And then
Get out of here, creep. Oh, jeez. Don't come back.
And then, like every good
taking pictures.
80s New York street punk, Raul has a can of spray paint in his
jacket.
That's
right. That's right.
And he sprays it right into his open chest.
It's in the kit when you're born in New York.
Yeah.
They give you a spray can and a baby rattle.
So he sprays it in Megatron and then sprays it in his eyes.
He must have lead to make it that bad.
I mean, Megatron is taken out. Like, it, like,
yeah, they're like, yo.
Sunwave, they nearly cradle him. It's like, man, you're out. We got to go. And they they rock it off.
They actually just rock it off.
Megatron has a stomachache.
Yeah. Oh no!
He's been hit with foam before.
Oh yeah, he's been defeated by foam, a vertigo ray.
Oh my god! Wow, Megatron could be taken. Megatron could be taken down by a $5 can of spray paint.
It happened.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're gone, and. They give Trax the honors of blowing up the base.
With one shot. That's all it took.
Well, think about how quick it took to build that.
I guess.
Yeah.
Well, there were Constructicons, but...
So the drones all revert back into cars, and but now...
They have to be reconfigured,
Yeah, now it's up to Sparkplug.
300 plus. You're trying to kill that old man.
But that means that the Autobots destroyed 200 cars in that battle.
Oh my god.
They had 500.
The insurance the insurance alone.
Yeah.
The claims. My car was stolen and turned into a robot. Where is that on my insurance claim?
I wish that happened.
I'm taking the subway from now on.
We are farmers. Did your car turn into a robot and used in a mass plot to take over New York City? We have a we got something for that.
Actually, yeah, I thought I was the only person in the world that happened. And then don't worry, we've had more than 500 cases.
Yeah.
Honestly, do Transformers get life or auto insurance?
So I'm gonna say auto insurance.
So the episode ends with Raul trying to sneak off, but then Trax picks him up, and he's like, "No, you're gonna help. Man. You're gonna end your life of crime and help out old man Sparkplug. Repair the vehicles and return them to the rightful owners. How are they gonna do it? How are they gonna do that? I'm not sure, but
He just kind of leaves them there, like, "Okay, see ya."
Yeah, well,
they're great friends, so they do it together.
Yeah.
He's helping out.
Giant hands compared to the tiny ones.
I know. How does an Autobot like work in that kind of size? I just did, like, how does he hand the wrench? How does he hand the wrench to Drax?
Like a toothpick.
Exactly.
Gundam pliers.
Oh my god!
Like, Optimus turns to Bumblebee. How do they deal with
this? The power of friendship. So, but before the episode's completely over, we now have another brand new bumper, and it's our good buddy Cosmos, and I love this bumper, where he flies and lands on a planet, and the camera kind of, whoop, rotates. And then we have Transformers will return after these messages.
No, they don't.
No, they won't. No.
They scam the you.
It's always a scam. See you next week, fool.
So that's it. That's the end of Make Tracks. And Gil, as our guest, we usually rate these episodes 1 through 10. So would you like to go first? What did you think?
Oh, man, I give it a high 9 off of sheer audacity. And to the point where I looked at that episode and I was like, I was Raul. and so
that was me.
I had that coat and then like, I look like I could break dance at any moment.
In a later episode.
Yeah. But just like the, you know, just like, just seeing Transformers running through a mall or just dog fights in Midtown or, you know, a Transformer battle in New Jersey Pine Barrens. I got to give it to the writer. That's just an amazing departure from the norm because, yeah, usually these episodes were usually like in the West. They were like, you know, they were always like fighting around in rocky ground and all that kind of stuff. Yep. And so this was the first time I see like in a while that I saw the Transformers in like, you know, a true city. And to see them try to like get around and just I was amazed by it. And I'm gonna definitely have to see the next Raul episode just to see how what happens to him. I know he was only in 2.
Yeah, he returns in Autobop.
where
the Decepticons take over a nightclub.
Oh my, you know what? Yeah, stop.
That's a good one.
Stop. Stop it.
We'll have you back.
All right.
And I believe Raul switches to a black jacket in that one.
Okay.
Maybe based on his experience with this episode.
As did I.
Leveling up. He's seen some things.
As did I. Got a job. Got a leather jacket. I did that too.
Yes, yep. You will have reserved seating for.
Thank you. I would love Autobop. It. Autobop. I'm there.
All right. Emmett, what did you think of Make Tracks?
Banana building. 9 out of 10. No, but seriously, aside from all the weird buildings, it was a great episode from a guy that reuses plots. No offense.
No, I was going to talk about that. Go ahead.
It was a nice departure, nice introduction of new characters, spotlight on some older ones, but still new point of view. And it was just a really good episode, really good plot. Yeah, 9 out of 10.
All right, Elsa.
Beefcake.
I'm gonna say beefsteak out of 10.
Okay.
That's my answer.
Okay. Yeah, I'm going to go 9 on this. It like Emmett, like you said, this writer is not known for writing very original scripts. So I think he stepped up. So congratulations to David Wise. I think he really went all out. And yeah, it was a good combination between the older Transformers, more the season 1 guys, and it gave a chance for the season 2 guys to shine, like Cosmos and Power Glide and Trax. And yeah, I just love seeing them in different locations. And I love when the Decepticons have just crazy impractical schemes. Like they have had big plans before, where like we are going to suck out the power of the sun, or we are going to bring Cybertron into Earth's orbit. This one's like, we're going to steal a bunch of cars and make drones out of them, you know?
Yeah.
So I like when Megatron's like, you know, I'm tired of like the global domination. We're just going to try and take over a few blocks of New York first, and then we'll build out from there.
Yes.
Yeah, start with the tri-state area.
Yeah.
Dr. Doofenshmirtz.
Right. So I greatly enjoyed this episode. And yeah, Raul was a fun step in for Spike.
Yeah.
No Spike in this episode. Yeah, he was stand-in.
Spark plug though.
Yeah, what was his dad doing in New York and leaving his 15-year-old son at home?
Yeah,
I know. Who's with Spike right now? Bumblebee's in New York too. I'm like, come on, man.
Yeah.
Spike's all alone.
All right, Gil. Well, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Do you have anything to plug? Anything to recommend?
Yes.
To listen to or watch? Go ahead.
Sure. For those of you who are fans of the Taylor Network, I am on No Apologies. I am also on occasionally when we decide to record Culture Trapping. And of course, you could see me. I've guest on a lot of other shows, so I'm always around. But it's really great to hear the enthusiasm of something that I loved as a kid, and seeing you guys enjoy it just like I did when I was a kid, and like seeing your enthusiasm now. Right now I'm playing with my Iron Man action figure and because as your dad probably knows, I'm a Marvel Legends guy. And so I just love hearing it in your voice, and it's so amazing that you guys could share this with each other and make it a family thing. That is so heartwarming. It's amazing.
Well, we are getting the itch to come back to New York, so you know,
anytime, let me know.
If things keep improving, then yeah, we're gonna have to come out and get together with everybody.
Not a problem.
We did have dinner with Alan.
Oh, nice.
At Benny's Burritos, which is now closed down, I heard.
Oh, Benny's is gone. Benny's is gone. New York has changed.
All right. Well, when we are back in New York, we're going to have to make it a point to meet up with everybody and have a good time and talk Transformers over some non-alcoholic drinks for the kids and whatever we choose to do.
I'm fine with tea.
Elsa will have a tea.
Okay. I'll have some bubble tea and then
Me a cranberry juice mocktail.
And
some lemon lime juice and I'm good.
Okay, slow down.
Although for me, if I do have a bubble tea, I will have a trash can ready because I do get stomach aches after I drink half of the tea.
Noted.
All right.
It tastes amazing. That's why I get lemonade. It feels horrible.
That's why I get lemonade.
Okay, that's enough of the drink orders, kids. And we got to let Gil go. All right, Gil. So thanks for joining us. And thanks for listening, everybody. And we'll see you next week on One More Prime. Bye, everybody.
Goodbye. Bye.